89 is our invitation song for this evening. It's a time that God has granted unto you. If you need to make anything right, you have that time and opportunity. You need to obey the gospel. If you're not a member of the Lord's church, you don't have to leave here without being a member of God's family. God loves you, He cares for you, and if we fall short in our Christian living, we can come and confess our faults one to another and pray one for another and be forgiven. And we need to realize how much God loves us. It's good to be back tonight and enjoyed the prayer that we had. And he mentioned about visual and seeing. Tonight, as we come, I have a rope I'm going to use. And but you know, last night we talked about religion and the things that are taking place in the world and the world over in Europe, and how so many is falling away from God. You know, some countries up to 75% are atheists. And tonight, as we look to God's Word, we're going to talk about, you know, our life that we're living. And I'm going to use this rope. And Brother Tim, he asked me, was it dealing with the Apostle Paul being let down by a rope? And I told him no. And then he said, well, is it Samson? And I said, no. Then a little bit later, he mentioned something else I can't remember right now. It doesn't slip my mind.
Judas.
Judas being hung by a rope. But, you know, we in school, we find that teachers, when they teach, sometimes they use visual aids to help get across, you know, their point of what they're trying to teach. And when we look to Jesus and His teachings, we see that Jesus taught a lot in parables. And in those parables, you know, they were short stories that He would tell. And the parables and stories He would tell, it put pictures in their mind. You know, one of the parables that Jesus taught was the sower going forth to sow. And as He went to sow His seed, it says some fell by the wayside. Some fell upon stony places, some among the thorns, and some fell into the good ground. And, you know, when He told those stories, they understood because they were farmers. And in each ground, you know, it represented in the story man's heart, the condition of his heart. And so tonight, you know, I want to use this rope to express a point for us to realize our life and the life that we're living and what are we doing in our life that we're living. You know, in James 4:4, we find that James tells us, he said, for what is your life? It's even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. And he said, for as you know not what shall be on tomorrow. So James tells us, for what is your life? It's but a vapor. Well, tonight, we're going to let this red represent our life. And so our life upon this earth in which we live, we all understand that that God has created us in this world, in this fleshly body. We have a spirit that dwells within us, and that we have a short period of time on this earth. And this is what this represents, that short period of time that me and you have on this earth. And the rest of this rope is eternity. Now, after this life, we're going to spend eternity somewhere. Either if we live for God, we're going to spend eternity in heaven with God. And if we don't, we're going to find out we're going to be cast out in outer darkness, and we refer to it as hell. And so tonight we want to pay attention to this part of the rope, the life that we live upon this earth. Jesus in Mark 8:36 said, for what shall it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for a soul? And so here we find, you know, Jesus telling us, you know, what does it profit if I gain this whole world and lose my soul? And that's one of the things that, you know, in the flesh, our flesh has desires, milk, water, food, clothing, and in the flesh we desire, you know, just about all the things this world has to offer that God has blessed us with. And the thing about it, when we're here just for this short period of time, You know, most of us, we spend all of our time working until a certain period of time, a lot of us, that we can retire, and then we'll sit and enjoy the rest of our time here upon this earth. Well, here Jesus tells us, now what profit does it do you to work all your time here and lose your soul? So he's telling us there's more to life than this flesh, and that we understand that there's more to life than this flesh. There's God. And we have to consider God in our lives. He's a creator of us. He's a giver and sustainer of life. And the things that we enjoy in this life is a blessing from Him. We need to realize that. And so, if we're not a child of God, if we're not a Christian, what we're doing, we're just living in the flesh just a short period of time and not taking thought of the rest of our life. In Luke, the 12th chapter, Jesus gives a parable beginning with verse 16. It says, "And he spake a parable to them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentiful. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns, I will build greater, and there will bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry." Now here in this parable right here, this is all this man was concerned with. God had blessed him. He had plentiful. And he didn't have enough room to store his goods. So he said, I'm going to tear down my barns and build greater. And then after he accomplished that, he said, now I'm going to take it easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. All he was concerned about was this right here. But yet we find in this parable, when we go to verse 20, we find it, "But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided?" And so we find out in this parable that Jesus let him know, or God let him know, he was a fool. The time he spent upon this earth, all he was concerned with were the things of the flesh. He wasn't concerned with God. He left God out of his decision. You know, the smart thing would have been for him to say, if it's the Lord's will, I'm going to tear down my barns and build back greater. And if it's the Lord's will, I'll take my ease and eat, drink, and be merry. But he left God out of the picture. And so all he was concerned about was this, and God called him a fool. And if that's all we're concerned with tonight is living for the flesh and doing the things for flesh and leaving God out of our life, this is all we got. And we're missing all this. We're missing eternity. We're going to miss eternity in heaven with God. And we're going to give an answer to the life that we're living. There is a God. And He is the creator of us. And the Bible tells us we're His offsprings. And He's a giver and sustainer of life. I'm here today because God has blessed me with my health that I could be here tonight. And so we need to realize what God expects out of us. In Hebrews 9:27, it says, "It's appointed unto man once to die, but after this is judgment." And so here in this scripture, it tells us it's appointed unto us to die. You know, we know it. We're going to die. This is all we got in this life, in the flesh, and we're going to die. But he says after death, there's something else going to take place. It's a judgment. And we want to spend eternity in heaven. But if all we concentrate on in our life is this short period of time. You know, if you live to be 100 years old, that's short compared to eternity. I'm fixing to turn 65 next month. And you know, the Bible says 70. And peradventure, God lets you live longer. You know, if I just live to 70, I don't have 5 more years left. If I live to be 80, well, I don't have but 10 more years. Most of my life is already behind me. And so I need to realize what am I doing with my life? Because life is short. And this is all we got when you compare it to eternity. And so he tells us, it's appointed unto man once to die, but after this is judgment. And in Romans 3:23, "For we've all sinned, come short of the glory of God." We all know that. We all know that we're sinners. We've come short of God's glory. And so we better realize that this right here, that I'm a sinner, I'm without God, and I'm without hope unless I do something about it. It says, "For the wages of sin is death, But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. The wages of sin is death. That's what brought on death. That's the reason we have this short period of time to live. Because of sin, and it brought death upon us. And not only physical death, but spiritual death and separation from God. But he said, God's gift unto us is eternal life, is this, but he said it's through Jesus Christ. And so we have to understand that what God expects out of us is to turn to his Son, Jesus Christ, who loved us enough to die for us. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8, Paul speaks to Timothy about godliness, and he said, if you strive to have godliness, he said, you'll have the promise of the life that now is and the life that is to come. And so Paul told Timothy, you know, in this short period of time you have, he said, you seek after godliness. And when you seek after godliness, he said, you're going to have this life that is to come. And we need to understand that. We need to be seeking after God. And as we noticed last night, there's so many people has fell away from God, don't even believe in God. And the heavens declare the glory of God. And all the things that we see today, we should understand that there is a God. In 2 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, and in verse 5, Paul said, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know you not your own selves. How that Jesus Christ is in you, unless you be reprobate. Useless. He said, examine yourself. And that's what we have to do. We have to look at ourselves, examine ourselves, and see whether or not I'm living in flesh or if I'm living for God. Satan will deceive us and cause us to fall away, and we'll slip away and not even know it if we don't examine ourselves and watch it. Paul said, tells us to examine ourselves. Paul said in Corinthians, the 9th chapter, verse 27, he said, but I keep under my body and bring it under subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a captive. Paul said he had to watch his body. Paul was an apostle. He was a gospel preacher. But Paul said, I've got to watch my body. I've got to keep it in subjection. And that's the thing. You know, we're in the flesh. We've got a spirit that dwells within us. And we've got to use our mind and our spirit to control our fleshly desires. We've got to use our mind and our spirit to control our fleshly desires. If we don't, we'll let the flesh control us, control our spirit. And we have to keep it under. If Paul's got to watch his life and he's aware that he can fall, we better be watching our lives, whether or not we can fall. He told Timothy, fight the good fight of faith, laid hold on eternal life. Fight the good fight of faith. To have faith and to fight that good fight, we're going to have to be doing something. We can't just sit around and not do anything. We've got to be doing something to have the faith that we ought to have, that we're going to make it through this life and expect to receive eternity. 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, and verse 4. Paul said, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. He said that we've got a warfare taking place in our body. Our spirit is fighting the flesh. Flesh is fighting the spirit. And he said that we got a warfare going on. He said, mighty through God to pulling down a stronghold. What is a stronghold? It's anything that's keeping you from living that godly life. It's anything that's keeping you from reading, studying, and doing the things that God tells you to do. When God tells you to go visit sick, you know somebody's sick and you don't go visit, what's keeping you from it? See, we're more concerned about ourselves and the flesh and what we want instead of doing the things that God wants. And so those are our strongholds we got to be watching over and watching out that we're fighting. He said, casting down every imagination, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bring it into captivity even through the obedience of Christ. And that's what we got to understand, that the things that we face in this life, we got to bring it under obedience unto Christ. The sins that's before us, we got to bring it under obedience unto Christ and repent of our sins and do those things that he tells us to do. In John, the first chapter, or Job, we find that the Bible speaks that the sons of God came before God, and it says Satan came before him. And when Satan came before him, God asked Satan, "Where you been?" He said, "I've been going to and fro on the earth, walking up and down in it." That was during the days of Job, and all of Job's problem was brought on by Satan. And we find today, in the life in which we're living today, that Peter warns us. He said, "You be sober, you be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is walking about seeking whom he may devour." Job is still here. He's still among us. And he's walking about trying to get you. And he's the one that causes you to live your life in the flesh and forsake God. And we got to understand that that Satan is here, and he's walking among us. He's walking among us. And we find that Peter tells us that we got to be sober and vigilant about our Christian life, because Satan is going to try to keep us from living that Christian life. He's going to try to get us to fall. And we find that we have the Apostle Paul telling us how to withstand Satan and to win that battle and live that life that God would have us to live in the flesh, so when this life is over with, that we'll have eternity. In Ephesians, the 6th chapter, beginning with verse 10, Paul says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." Be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. He said, "Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." How am I supposed to stand against the wiles and the schemes of the devil? He says, by putting on God's armor. I'm not going to defeat Satan without putting on God's armor. Satan is powerful than me. And so for me to withstand Satan, I got to have God's help. And so he tells me to put on his armor that I can be able to withstand Satan. He said, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual weaknesses in high places." You know, verse 12, what he's telling us is pretty scary. We're not wrestling against flesh and blood. He said, against spiritual weakness in high places. Next week, we've got to have God on our side. He said, "Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand," he says, "stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness." The only way we're going to defeat Satan and quit living for the flesh and for the moment is to have God on our side. And he tells us we got to put on and gird on, he said, the truth. We got to have the truth. We got to have the knowledge of truth. That's the only way we're going to withstand Satan. We got to put that knowledge in our mind and understand what God's required of us to overcome Satan. He said, "And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked." Our feet shod with the gospel. Is your feet shod with the gospel tonight? Or have you been too concerned with the things of this world and in the flesh that you've neglected to read and study and prepare yourself with the gospel that you can withstand Satan, and that you can help your loved ones withstand Satan, that you would teach them the gospel, how they can overcome Satan and become a child of God, a Christian? Or we've just been too busy living in the flesh and forgetting all about eternity that's set before us? And he said, take that shield of faith. That's what keeps us strong. That's where our hope is. The faith and believing in what God tells us is so. And I believe it. I believe he's watching over me. He's watching over you. He says, "I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you." We can leave him. We can forsake him. But he said, "I'll never leave you." We leave him. He don't leave us. We leave him. But our faith, the things that we have tried in this life, the things we're confronting in this life, it's supposed to build our faith up and make us stronger. Make us stronger. But Satan is still walking about after us. In Matthew, the 4th chapter, you know, when we read about Jesus being tempted of the devil, in verse 8 it says, "And the devil taketh him up into an exceedingly high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And he said unto Jesus, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. You know, Satan offered Jesus all the things of this world. You know, he's still doing that today. He's offering you the things of this world. He's offering you the things of this world. And that's what the flesh has to fight against, is the thing of this world. And Satan is offering it. He offered it to Jesus, and he's offering it to us. And so anything that you do that you know that you should be doing something else, that he's offering that to you. He's offering you to stay home and watch TV tonight. He's offering you to go to a football game. Anything to keep you from doing the things that you know you ought to be doing. Satan is still here walking around. He offered Satan, Jesus the world. He's offering us the world. And there's so many today that we learned last night, that's all they was concerned about, this right here. 2 Timothy 2 and 4. He said, no man that warreth entangle himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. No man entangle himself in the affairs of this life. But a lot of us, we're entangled in the affairs of this life. Entangled in it. We can't seem to turn it loose. We got to stay home and watch that movie that we've been wanting to see. We got to go to a restaurant to eat. We got to go to the picture show. There's just so many things he's offered us that keeps us from living the life he'd have us to, keep us from reading, studying, visiting, building one another up. In Romans 8 and 4, he says, walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. You know, in 1 John chapter 2, beginning with verse 15, John says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world, because if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. But all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh. And that's what a lot of people are seeking after in this life, lust of the flesh. And he says the lust of the eyes, the things that we see, that we want, and we want all these things, and we want it so bad, we work all the time. We put in a lot of hours. We don't have time for our family. We don't have time for church because we got to work. We got to make money because I want that brand new car. I want that brand new house. And yet, the sad part is we could be like the rich man and God could say, your time has come for you to depart this walk of life. Then who's those things going to be that you work for? But he said, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life. He says, not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world's going to pass away. The lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So while we're in this flesh, when he talks about the world passing away, you know, the world's going to pass away. When it does, we're going to pass away with it. Unless we die before it passes away. And when that happens, then what is your answer going to be to God? Why you didn't live for him and you just lived in the flesh and you forgot all about living for him for eternity. Live for eternity. It's going to pass away. In Romans the 8th chapter, beginning with verse 6, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Carnally minded is death. No, he's not talking about just dying, because we're all going to die. He's talking about you're dead spiritually if you're carnally minded. If all you're concerned about is the things of this world, he said you're carnally minded, you're not spiritual. And that death, he's talking about spiritual death. It's going to be eternity in hell and torment. But he said to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So he's telling us, you know, if we're spiritually minded, we got this right here. We got eternity waiting for us. Jesus is going to prepare a place for us. He's got a mansion prepared for us. And he's waiting for us if we're spiritually minded. He said the carnal mind is enmity against God. It is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. to be carnal minded. He said, it's all against God. All against God. That's what the rich man, he was carnally minded. All he was concerned about is what desires of his flesh, to build them greater barns and store his good and take it easy. He says, but you are not of the, in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be, the Spirit of God dwells in you. We've got to let the Spirit of God dwell in us. When we obey the gospel, we have our sins forgiven. We find in Acts 2:38, it says we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. God gives us a Spirit to dwell within us. A lot of people don't understand that. You know, I got a Spirit within me when I was born. God put a Spirit in me. I can't feel it. I can't tell it. But I know there's a Spirit in me. Because God tells me there's a Spirit. In the same way, when I obey the gospel, he said, I put the Holy Spirit. And he says, your body becomes a temple. Your body's a temple for God. And as being a temple of God in Christ, and God dwelling in, you're supposed to be living that Christian life, being influenced to others, that they will come to God. The life you're living is to bring glory to God of heaven. In the 13th verse, he said, for if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. To mortify the deeds of the body, put to death. Control your body. That's what Paul said we have to do. We got to control this fleshly body. We do it with our mind and our spirit. So you see, if you live out of the flesh, you're going to die. You're going to go to hell. You're going to go to torment. And so many of us, that's all we think about, is this part right here. And that flesh life is just a short life. It's just a short period of time. You know, there's no telling how many that you can think of that used to be sitting here that's done passed on. Life was short. Life was short. In Galatians 5 and verse 16, we have Jesus writing to the church of Galatia, and he tells them about the lust of the flesh. And in the 16th verse, Paul wrote to the church, he said, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit, and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. How do we walk in the Spirit? The Spirit has given us the Word. We read the Word, what the Word teaches us. That's walking in the Spirit. When we obey the Word that He tells us, then we're walking in the Spirit. In John, in the book of John, chapter 17, and in verse 11, here John is talking to his disciples. He says, or talking to God, he says, and now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one in us. You know, here, several times, Jesus speaks in this 17th chapter about his disciples being in the world. But he goes on in verse 13, Jesus says, and now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Now here we find this 14th verse. You know, Jesus said his disciples was in the world. We're in this world. Now in this 14th verse, he said, we're not of the world. That's what we got to realize. We're a Christian. We're not of this world. And here he said, I've given them thy word, and they're not of the world. He says, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sake I sanctified myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Verse 20, he says, neither pray I for these alone, Now here he's speaking to, about us. He was talking about to God about his disciples that was falling. He said, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. So he now he's speaking about us and praying to God to watch over us. Now he tells God, he said, they're in the world, we're in this world. But he told his Father, they're not of the world. If we're a Christian, we're not of this world. And we need to realize that. And what did Jesus say? Notice verse 16. They are not of the world, even I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. In the 19th verse, he says, for their sake I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. The truth is what sanctifies us. It set us apart for God's service. So we got to have the truth. We got to read and study God's word and put the truth in our life. It sanctifies us. It set us apart. Now when we obey the gospel, we're baptized. We've been set apart for God's service. We quit living for the flesh. We understood that that without God, we was without hope in the world. And now, being sanctified through the truth and obeying the gospel, we quit living for the flesh and we start living for God in the flesh and we look forward for that home in heaven. Jesus said, watch and pray that you enter not in temptation. He said, the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. See, Jesus, he knows it, that our flesh is weak. He said, our spirit is willing, but our flesh is weak. And the only way that we're going to be strong in the faith is like what Peter said, desire the sincere milk of the Word. We got to desire the Word. We got to live the Word. And Apostle Paul, in Acts 20 and verse 32, Paul says, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them that are sanctified. God has blessed us with this Bible that we have, and every one of us can get a Bible. We probably everyone's got a Bible. And we can read the word, and Paul said it'll build you up, it'll strengthen you and encourage you. And it will. It does for me. And when you talk to others about the Bible, especially when you're talking with brothers and sisters about the Bible, you get encouragement and they're encouraged. And that's one of the ways that we help each other, is talking to one another. And that's what the Bible teaches, that we're to encourage one another. But don't live this life right here in the flesh without God, because it's very short. But live for God. And if you do that, then you're going to have all of eternity, all of eternity. Eternity is a long time. There's no end. But our life here in the flesh is short. And I hope you realize that. That our life is short. And that we're to live for God. You know, God, He loves us so much. And, you know, I can't even comprehend God giving His Son. And letting His Son go through what He went through. And God looking down and watching people spit on His Son and slap Him, beat Him, curse Him. And then let him drive nails in his hand hanging on the cross. I can't even comprehend that. But God loves us so much that he allowed that to happen. And what was going on, everything that was happening to him, that's supposed to be happening to me. I'm supposed to face the wrath of God. But Jesus faced that wrath. He took it upon himself to take my punishment in order I can be saved. You know, that's a great love. If we could just only comprehend the love that he has for us. And then we might do something about living for him and still living in the flesh. And we'll look forward for that home in heaven. And death, one thing about dying and death, you know, everybody fears death. Death isn't to be feared. If you're a Christian, you ain't got to fear dying. Because when you die, you're going to a better place than here on this earth. We got a lot of problems on this earth you don't have in heaven with God. It's all been removed. And so don't fear dying if you're a Christian. At this time, if you need to obey the gospel. You know, the Bible says faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Have faith in God's word. Hear it. Believe it. Repent of your sins. Confess the sweet name of Jesus. Be buried in that water drug of baptism. To have your sins washed away and be raised up and walk in the newness of life. You know, I still remember the day I obeyed the gospel and when I was baptized, and when I came up, what popped in my mind? I had peace with God. And the Bible says we have peace with God when we obey the gospel. And why did I have peace? God told me to do this for the remission of my sins. I done that. And when I came forth, I realized and understood I met the blood of Jesus. And His blood washed me of my sins. He made me a new creature. And He'll make you a new creature. And if you're not a child of God, obey the gospel. He loves you. His Son died for you. Don't let His Son death mean nothing to you. Apply His blood on you. And if you fell away from the church, if Satan has tempted you to live in the flesh and forsake God and not do the things that you ought to do as a Christian, God loves you. He said, come and confess your faults one to another. Pray one for another, be forgiven. God is still offering forgiveness. Even as a child of God, when we fall away, that we can still confess our sins and be forgiven, and God will restore us back. And so at this time, if you didn't make anything right, that opportunity is yours while we stand and while we sing the song that's been selected.